From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on a small empty stage at the back end of a cafe. An artist steps up from the crowd onto that stage and fits a handheld microphone onto a stand. The cafe is silent as the coffee drinkers and book readers wait for the artist to speak. And when she does, she speaks her truth. She brings the house down. This stage could be any slam poetry stage in America. It's an art form of power, substance, and emotion. Spoken word artists put on a show, but it's a show based in vulnerability, one that asks audiences to confront aspects of themselves or society that can be difficult. A piece of advice shared among these artists: don't be nice. That's the title of a documentary about slam poetry that will be screened this Friday at the Little Theater. It's part of the Black Cinema series. Don't Be Nice tells the story of five African-American, Afro-Hispanic, and queer poets in New York City as they prepare for the National Slam Poetry Championship. The message of the film echoes that of the poet's coach: speak and write from a place of vulnerability, pain, and honesty. Through their journeys, the poets reckon with truths about race, gender, sexuality, and identity in America. Well, this hour, we preview the film. We talk to local artists about the power of the spoken word, particularly for African-American artists. And I'd like to welcome our guests. In studio, Kevin Hicks is a journalist and vice president of RABJ, the Rochester Association of Black Journalists. Welcome back to the program. Nice to have you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Also with us is Rena Golden, the founder and artistic director of The Avenue Black Box Theater, host of The Goddess Hour on WAYO FM, co-creator of Kumba Consultants, founder of Slam High. We get it all, Rena.
I think so, maybe.
We'll talk about Slam High, too.
We can listen to more stuff if you got more time on the show. But
it's great to have you. Thank you for being here. Shaq A.O.R. Payne is a spoken word artist and recording artist. Shaq, welcome. Thank you for being here. And on the line with us is Nikhil Melnichek, who's the filmmaker for Don't Be Nice, also an actor and a poet. Nikhil, welcome. How are you?
I'm great, Evan. Thanks for having me. And it's great to meet all of these wonderful guests.
Well, it's the film is outstanding. I've had a chance to see it, and Kevin Hicks, why don't you start by running down some details on when people can see it on Friday?
Sure. It's going to be at 6:30 p.m. on Friday the 15th at the Little Theater, and as part of the Black Cinema Series, which is a partnership between the Rochester Association of Black Journalists and the Little Theater, we always have a discussion afterwards, and we're going to have the filmmaker who's on the program here today be Skyped into the film, and we'll have two panelists who are members of the former Rock Bottom Poetry Slam team.
All right, so that is Friday, 6:30, Little Theater.
Correct.
Uh-huh. A great chance to not only see the film, but participate, and I think it is a remarkable film, and I think I want to ask Rena, who is the founder of Slam High. Tell us, first of all, what Slam High is, you know, sort of your own background in the genre, and for people who are still kind of learning about slam poetry, how you define it.
Sure. It goes all the way back for me and for Rochester in terms of the youth and teen movement. Goes back to about 2001 when originally it started off in the schools. I started a project at School of the Arts where we created a slam. You know, slam poetry being the competition form of spoken word. It's kind of like the Olympics of poetry. We like to say, you know, the idea is that, you know, poems may not have been meant for, or points may not have been meant for poems, but it sure is fun, you know, sometimes when you do add another element. So when that did happen, I found that here in Rochester, it really also took off in that way, even though the competition wasn't really the point for me. I really wanted to introduce young people to spoken word as a means of creative expression, as a means of working through some of the things that were important to them that they don't always have a voice to do. So we started off in schools, eventually turned it into a citywide, then countywide program, and we ended up competing in the equivalent to the National Poetry Slam in the teen world is called Brave New Voices. And Brave New Voices, actually the thing that they have in common with this particular film is that one of the earliest films that really captured the slam outside of Slam Nation was the HBO presents Brave New Voices, which was a 7-part series. And because Rochester, in our second year of actually being invited to this Invitational, we ended up on final stage. Rochester was actually represented in that, as finalists. So HBO captured our likeness, and we went down in slam history.
Well, I want to ask Nikhil to kind of tell us a little bit about how the film came together, why you decided to profile the Bowery team, and kind of take me through a little bit of that process, Nikhil.
Absolutely, absolutely. We started making the film in January of 2016, and at the time I was actually running the Bowery Poetry Club. And we hadn't had a slam poetry program for a few years. As Rena can probably attest, there's always a lot of big personalities and lots of change within the slam poetry community. And, teams last a few years, programs last a few years, there's always a lot of change. And in 2016, we found this incredible young poet named Ashley August, and she just started blowing our minds at the Bowery Poetry Club. And we thought, who better to create a new slam poetry program for us? So she started a weekly slam called Bowery Slam, and pretty much after the first week, I saw that we had something amazing going on, and it would be a huge missed opportunity if we didn't try to film it in some way. So we just started shooting every Monday, not knowing what it would become. And we then found this incredible foundation called Radio Drama Network that funded us to make a feature film out of it. So we just started shooting every week in earnest. And then when the team was selected by the audiences, we then started filming all of their rehearsals as they started writing the poems and getting to know one another. And then we followed them to the National Poetry Slam, which that year was in Decatur, Georgia. So that's sort of how the project came together, and it just has grown from there.
If you don't mind, I'd like to play a clip from the film that I think at least gives us a sense for some of the raw emotion and the power behind the poetry, the slam poetry. So this is, the poem is About My Eyes, and this is by a guy named Sean, goes as Mega. 8 things that are true about my eyes. Let's go ahead and listen to that.
8 things that are true about my eyes. 1. In the second grade, Shaquanda started sliding her hand into my pants. So I took a knife and stabbed holes into my favorite black belt. I don't know if I was trying to make it harder for her to invade me, or if I just wanted to play a part in my own trauma. When the tightening of belts did nothing but bruise my waist, I learned a different trick. I started to press against my eyes with my forefingers. With such aggression, it reshaped my corneas. In a normal eye, they are perfectly curved hills. Mine looked like teardrops that never got a chance to fall. 2. When my brother's girlfriend, Alexandria, died in a car accident, her name became the password to our old computer. You should have seen me stabbing the keyboard as if I could type the pulse back enter. Don't look at me like I am a madman or I'm foolish. All I have done here is alter the way I saw my suffering. I bent my life into the easiest needle I could make of it because I would rather be a blind man than an honest one. 3, for years I abused my eyes, the blooming colors like vertigo. It helped me mistake my parents' divorce for handholding. I needed to become dizzy towards it. I needed the car my father left in to look like a boomerang so it could teach me how to long for things that promised to return. 4, my eyes are the hinges to this stupid door of a mouth. 5, when my father would hit me, I would go in the bathroom and see the shadow of his palm stitched to my face. 5B, I don't know if I turned my father into a weapon or if I was raised by a weapon. My eyes try to bend into a father. 6, ain't it funny how if you do too much with your eyes, even a simple word like touch becomes unpronounceable. 7, when I first started wearing glasses, the doctors told me to keep wearing them or I would go blind. I used to think that was worth it if I didn't have to see people hit me again. 8, I avoid my father's hands like Sequandus, fearful of the strike, how he would probably slap my vision straight if he heard this. I want to tell him that I learned from him that most days my heart is the hardest thing to see, that each morning I wake up hoping that this guilt will scab into new skin.
Eight things that are true about my eyes. I want to ask all of our guests. I want to start with Rena. How did that hit you?
It's intense. It took me back to, you know, the days when I was, was coaching Slam, and just being in those rooms when a poem comes out that just grabs you, you know, by the heart, you know, you're torn between, you know, as a writer, as a coach, as an instructor, you know, as an educator, between, you know, that hat that you wear, you know, of educator, of coach, of like, okay, the poem was brought to me to do something with it, and the part that's like, this is so raw, this is so real, I can't touch it. You know, I can't touch it. I just want to hold this poem. I want to hold space for this poem and this poet. And it's real work. It's real heavy lifting. Shaq will talk about that, I'm sure, about just, you know, since he was also on one of the Slam teams that I coached in Slam High, just all of those moments of being in those spaces, those tight spaces, those tight, really, really tight spaces when there's nowhere to run to, there's nowhere to hide from the truth that's coming out in these poems. And it's serious. Serious.
Yeah, Shaq, how did that one land with you?
Like Rena was saying, it instantly brought me back to a very specific moment. When I was on Slam High, me and one of my friends, CJ, we wrote a piece about bullying. And it was, we probably spent three practices before we got to this point, but it was one specific practice where he and I were so into the poem emotionally that we both ended up breaking down afterwards. We ended up like in each other's grasp, kind of like it was lovingly, but it was also very aggressive. Like in that moment, there is, it's nothing but the raw emotion. And you realize this is work also on yourself. A lot of people think that spoken word is, oh, I just want to say something or make some type of statement, but in order to get to what you see a lot of phenomenal Slam poets get to, there's a lot of emotional and personal work that you have to go through. It's a journey to get a piece from page to stage properly.
What an amazing insight. Kevin, what did you think when you heard that?
Yeah, very, very powerful. I think the just listening to the clip, and when you actually see the film and the body movements, the body language of the poet, that also adds to it. And it's just an example of the types of films that we like to have as part of the Black Cinema series. This is the third year of the Black Cinema series. It started in February 2017, and we've had films monthly, so it's not just during Black History Month. The whole idea was to have films throughout, and just also listening to that piece, Rena mentioned about film, and I was thinking about Love Jones that came out in 1997, I believe, and that was kind of my first exposure to spoken word poetry, and that film has become very beloved within the Black community, and I'm sure outside.
Mm-hmm. Nikhil, I have to say, watching your film, maybe 10, 15 minutes in, I found myself going, I just want to see what they come up with. Just take me straight to, you know, the National Slam. I just want to see it. And, you know, but this is that access that you had to watching, not just what the listeners just heard, but watching the teammates and the friends react to that and just seeing how just sort of just torched everybody was emotionally was an amazing, amazing moment. And I hesitate to even ask you if you had to edit out stuff that we can't even see in this film that was, you know, also powerful, because it's about a 90-minute film.
You know, that's the hardest part about filmmaking. It's just all that has to land on the cutting room floor. So our movie is an hour and a half. We had over 300 hours of footage. And so there's, the team writes over 20 poems. They perform about half of them in the film, but it's so many amazing moments. So many beautiful, beautiful poems that we just can't fit into a 90-minute runtime. You know, I just want to jump on what everybody's saying and talk about how there really is a history of some phenomenal films and television shows that introduced the world to slam poetry and spoken word. And it's, Rena, it's amazing to hear that you were part of Brave New Voices. That's you know, a real touchstone for the genre. And we were really looking at all those projects and thinking about how we could add to the dialogue, bring slam a step further in its inexorable journey into the mainstream, and contribute, you know, with it. And we really thought that going into a little what Shaq's saying, there's the in-between moments between when the idea comes to you and when you perform it and get that 10 out of 10 score. And those in-between moments are the ones that nobody gets to see. It's where your team is supporting you as you're crying through a personal revelation that maybe you've never shared with anyone except your slam poetry teammates. It's where you are like agonizing over which word to use and everybody's arguing about which choice you should make. And we really wanted the film to focus on those moments, what happened in the rooms of those slam teams behind the scenes, because we thought that that's truly the most emotional content there. And so it's great to hear that you all were responding to that in the film.
Oh, no doubt about it. The film is Don't Be Nice. You can see it at the Little Theater, 6:30 p.m. on Friday, and a discussion will follow. And Rena brought up having been a coach as well in those moments. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what anybody could possibly say to a powerhouse moment like that. But the film also takes you through a lot of coaching where it's not quite as sort of pat and powerful as what we just heard. There's a lot of work going on, a lot of deconstructing. Mm-hmm. And there are times where the coach has got to say, you know, I don't think this is working, or I think that, you know, can you take me through some of that mentality?
Yeah, you know, it's a grueling process. I mean, it's probably much more intense than most poets, I would say, go through, because there's so many elements to it. You know, there's getting it page ready and the editing process that goes into that. We would take poems through a whole process, a whole machine within Slam High, because that really, again, was what it was about for me, was like putting some integrity to your words, to your actions, you know, to your thoughts through this process. And then again, the slam was like sort of the hook, you know, for all of that. It was actually an acronym that was mostly it, for me. It was more like SLAAM. It was SLAAM, and so the Student Led Arts as Activism Movement. So looking at the putting some integrity to your art. So we would go through writer's workshop, editor's workshop, performance workshop, and it was as the poem and the performance were moving through this machine. That's where a lot of the intensity comes in, and I think Shaq was definitely talking about, like, the moments of, like, it wasn't just about practicing a poem over and over again that you had written, you know. It was about really finding the beating heart of that poem and putting it out there, you know, and finding those lines. I think Lauren, who's also a good friend of mine, and the coach in this film, Lauren, she says it best when she starts talking about the things that are, you know, about being courageous, you know, and those are the only poems that we really want here. And it's tough because, you know, everybody's words are valid. Everybody's poem is valid, you know, but we're doing this you're here for a reason. We started to see it as very purpose driven. Like, you are here for a purpose that's bigger than just, you know, your notebook right now. right? And so I know your notebook is filled, you know, with amazing language and stories, but you're here for a purpose. And if you're going to go through, you're really going to go through this journey, you know, we may very well, you know, rip some things apart and put them back together. And some of that that's getting ripped apart, it might even be you, you know, in that moment, you know, and not in a malicious way, not in a way that, you know, is meant to cause harm, but it also has a lot to do with the healing journey. Like your journey brought you to this moment for a reason. And I want to have some integrity as a coach as to what I do with this moment for you, you know, too.
Everybody should, I think most artists should want a good editor, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. even if it hurts, even it can be hard. But what Rena's also talking about is that good coach, that good editor is going to see, you know, the potential of what you're creating and help to bring it forward, bring it out. But it takes a strong person to take that kind of coaching and
asking the poem the questions. I think that's what Lauren talks about, is like the questions should keep coming, you know, like the poem, it may never be finished because the questions should keep coming. And that's the questions that you're questioning yourself, you know, that the audience might be questioning, that the coach might be questioning, but that poem that is real, you know, it begs to, you know, bring up these questions and what's behind that and what's behind that and what else was going on with that. Oh, and what's it really about? You know, what it's really saying, you know? And as a coach, I don't know the answer. I don't know if I'm, you know, I don't know if I should have stopped asking questions, you know, 5 questions ago, you know, but you'll know. Hopefully you'll know as a writer.
Shaq, right. What's that process like when you're getting that coaching, when you're getting that editing?
So I've gotten the pleasure to be on both sides. I actually got to coach Rock Bottom's national team when we went in 2017. So definitely a lot of what Rena is saying, you have to do what is best for the poem, and understanding that what's best for the poem in that moment may not be what's best for the poet. And being a poet and going through those workshops, I was able to understand that. At the moment that you realize that, okay, since I've chosen to share this piece with the world, it's no longer mine. It's no longer just about me. And once you're able to put yourself aside, ironically, that is when you are able to get that self-development, that work, those breakthroughs. And I'm gonna be honest, when I first started, I was not really receptive. I remember there was one poem that I wrote, and I brought it to Rena, and she asked me all these questions, and I'm sitting here and I'm like, well, I wrote, in my head I'm like, I wrote the poem, like it's done, like it's done, you see it right here. And ironically, she gave me homework, and I went and I did the homework, and from the homework, I found and realized so much more. And the crazy thing is I thought she was going to make me rewrite the poem, and she didn't. It wasn't about the rewriting of the poem. It was being able to really understand what I was saying. Why did I need these? It was House of Cards. Mm-hmm. So why did I choose certain suits to represent certain things that I wanted? Why did I choose certain numbers? Why did I specifically pick these things and these people to talk about? And when I wrote it, I'm like, just gonna write a poem. It's dope. It's a slam poem. I'm about to go and get a high score. But going through and actually just doing the work, it becomes more. It's every single word that I'm saying, it means something. And not only does it mean something to me, I built a house of cards with these things that mean something to me, but you can build a house of cards and it can be something completely different. And really, why did I choose a house of cards? Why did I choose something so fragile, but also strong? Like if you put a house of cards together, it's really all about how you do it. And that gets it to stand, but at the same point, it can just fall. for the
it's a great metaphor for the poem, for the construction of a poem itself, mm-hmm. too.
It
you
is
know,
a
the
great
fragility
metaphor.
Of it, as well as, you know, how strong it is if you when you do it right, or when you do it when you're purposeful, intentional about it. And yes, it involves, you know, invading some personal space, you know, when it happens. And I love that you see that in the film as well, because it's hard to miss it, you know, if you're involved in that process. But other folks don't get a chance to see that, that, you know, the part that, you know, is, you know, it's a bonding experience for the team. But also it I look at it specifically in that way. It's like invading personal space. Like, my poem is personal to me. Mm-hmm. And then it's everybody's in it. Everybody's all up in my business in this poem. And watching, the most powerful thing, I think, you know, beyond even the coaching process that we're talking about, it has to do with what's happening between poets. You know, mm-hmm. Shaq talked a little bit about that with the CJ when they were working on the group piece. And I think group piece is such, like, that is one of the most profound things happening in the slam poetry movement that did not exist before slam, really. We just didn't really think about poems, you know, being collaborative works in that way, you know. And so it's intense. Go ahead.
To let the audience know, who's listening, who might not know much about slam poetry, when you go to a slam poetry competition, you have the opportunity to send up either a solo poet who does a poet on their own, or a group piece, which can be anywhere from two to all four or five members of the team performing a poem at once. And that's where kind of the theatrical nature of slam poetry can really shine at times, because you can have people playing off one another on stage and almost create a little theatrical scene with a poem.
I was not ready for some of what I saw in this film. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And without giving the ending away, because I'm not telling you whether they're going to go next. And the movie's not even really... The documentary is not really about, are they going to win or they're not going to win. I mean, there's drama there. But in the end, what matters most is, all I'm going to tell you is, it's just, you're not going to be ready for how powerful, you know, the end of this film is. It's just amazing.
One of the things, Evan, as I watched the film, since we are in Black History Month, and it actually should be throughout the year, is it brought up a lot of the poets throughout the Black diaspora, Sterling Brown, Claude McKay, mm-hmm. Gwendolyn Brooks, Rita Dove, Lucille Clifton out of Buffalo, Cornelius Eddy. I mean, it's just, as I watched, particularly the Black male poets, because there are the backdrop in this film, you see some of the police shootings that have been going on during that time in 2016, and how that also has an effect on the team, too.
Mm-hmm. No question. There's some really, I think, important and tight editing that helps display some of even more of the meaning there. It's just so well done. The film is Don't Be Nice, 6:30 Friday night at the Little Theater, and then a discussion to follow. By the way, Shaq, when you kind of opened yourself up to that coaching, mm-hmm. that has to have made you a better coach now when you coach others, yeah?
Definitely. I mean, one, you're able to see the value of it. And two, you're able to be empathetic with the poet when you are on that coaching side. There's a moment in the documentary where she's like, I may have pushed too mm-hmm. hard.
Yep.
And yeah. The push is definitely out of the love of wanting to see this be everything that it has to be, but you have to, it's a give and take type of thing. It's a okay, let's push. Okay, today that may be as far as I can push. Let's try again tomorrow, and you got to be aware of that, but also you have to be stern, because working with, like everyone was saying, it's poets are. Slam poets are definitely big personalities. Yeah.
No.
You have to fill a stage by yourself. So you, as a coach, you do also have to be very stern in your feedback and what where you think the poem should go.
And at the very least, you can say to a stubborn poet, I've been in your shoes. Mm-hmm. I've felt like, what are you talking about? This is done.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to open myself up to, it's not done,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I haven't been able to answer. Rena had all these questions for me, and I didn't think they mattered. Now I see why they mattered, and I've mm-hmm. got to be able to answer these questions. I just love the process. That's what the film was amazing. There's so much I've learned about this process just throughout this film. Nikhil, what are you hoping that people take from it, particularly sort of people who are new to the genre?
I hope it gets people to consider all that poetry can be. I think that our education system can do poetry an injustice at times, forcing people to read poetry that they might not find relevant to their own experience or feel like it comes from a world that's not theirs. And I think when people think about what a poet is, they don't necessarily imagine that it could be them. I think people watching the film are going to see what poetry has become now and what is relevant about poetry now, how poetry can really be an opportunity for someone to speak to their community, an opportunity to speak truth to power and be engaged in a political conversation in a meaningful way, where, you know, we're encouraged to just hit like or retweet and not engage in our own thinking. I think what the slam poets are doing in this film and around the world is to interrogate how they really feel about something, put in the time to craft that message in a personal and political way, so that when it's shared, it's something that people can feel, can think deeply about, and then decide how to respond to. So I think anybody who, you know, goes out to the Little Theater at 6:30 on Friday, I think is going to be deeply moved. The poetry is stunning in the film. It's why we made it. And get to know some incredible young poets and really learn what poetry is becoming.
Well, here's a great email from Jillian in Geneseo. She says, left the radio on by default, but not especially drawn to the subject matter of poetry. But as usual, never a wasted moment listening to Connections. This is incredibly emotional. Jillian, yes. So that's an awesome email because Jillian's
Thanks,
admitting,
Jillian.
I don't know if I would have thought slam poetry. I don't know if I want to listen to this. Trust me when I tell you, this film is going to move you. The content of the poetry, the story of the poets themselves, the process that you get to see, it's really, really well done. And it's always nice when we see a doc that we're going to talk about that I really liked, because you could tell that I really liked this, you know, but I really, really liked it. And it's also important to point out that you're going to see the doc, but Rena, where would you direct people to go if they want to see slam poetry
in Rochester? Oh, God, that's an interesting question. And I think Nikhil kind of hit on it. Also, things are always changing, morphing and growing, et cetera. I mean, first off, I just have to say that, you know, like, I mean, for me, some people may not agree, but slam really isn't the thing, you know, that we're necessarily after. You know, I think someone in the film says that Lauren says it's outlived its usefulness in many ways.
I thought that was very controversial. Mm. I thought, what?
Yeah, because, you know, it's like anything else, has the potential for, you know, just maybe the commercialization of a form. So you start to see this cadence, this rhythm, this style, and that's just what it is. And is it slam or isn't it slam? You know, and does it have the ability to continue to grow and morph outside of, you know, of the commercial appeal that it has? And I you know, I don't say that to discourage people from seeking out, you know, the slams and even this film, because one thing that the film does, and I think what, you know, being involved in a slam movement, you know, does is it lets you see that it's so not about this competition. It's Mm-mm. about all yeah. these other things. Mm-hmm. And if you're lucky, when you get to the slam, you get to see a little bit of that too. So we have opportunities around town, like even in Rochester. I'm so proud of the legacy of slam in Rochester, Slam High included in that, as a leader in that we have that, you know, spoken word and even just the option of slam as a part of so many different spaces, you know, in Rochester that might not be about, like, this is a slam spot. This is a slam, you know, bar, or, you know, or club, or, you know, even though, I mean, cities that have it, you know, definitely more power to them.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, being in slam, right now I can say that I have not slammed in probably about a year. And that was a personal choice that I made because of coming into a lot of the, okay, slam is this and this is not slam. And I'm like, look, I understand what slam is, but I also want to be an artist. I want to be a spoken word artist. I want to explore outside of really this realm. And once you've been in the movement, you're like, okay, I get it. Going to nationals was probably a real eye opener because you get to see that whatever, like you were saying, the cadence, this cadence has it's traveled across the entire country. So there is
the
this
world. I mean, yeah. there's slam poetry happening, and you know, I mean, there's teams in the UK, you know, in the Caribbean islands, everywhere, and you see it.
Like, okay, I like it. But like, I don't know. I've seen this over here too. Like it sounds the same. So
yeah, that's what I think is so amazing about our poetry community is that we are so anarchic. You know, we're developing this form and we're trying to, you know, get more exposure for this form. At the same time, we're trying to break down the form that we're practicing.
Right, right. that's
like
what makes it exciting.
It keeps changing the rules every game. You know, it's something that is not at all static. It's the opposite of static. It's fluid. It is in motion. And we really wanted to capture that in the film. And that's why we hired Lauren Whitehead, the coach of the film that Rena is friends with, to coach this team. You know, we ended up with a team of slam poets who are all, as they say, veteran slam poets. They all competed before. They're all recognized within the New York City poetry community and beyond as some of the best in the game. And they all came onto the team thinking, all right, we're gonna do what we do and we're gonna win. And we thought, well, that's not gonna reflect how the landscape of slam is constantly reinventing itself. Mm. And Lauren is somebody who comes in and says, you think you know how to slam. You think you know what slam is.
She's the truth.
Well, start again. Break that down. Reimagine that.
Yeah.
And so we really were trying to capture that in the film. You know, to just briefly touch on your question, Evan, of where people can see more, really the rise of slam poetry has been aided by the internet, by online videos.
Yeah.
You know, there's many popular YouTube channels, probably the most watched is Button Poetry, but that's sort of started to decline in prominence recently. And there's a new channel, Slam Find, which is really popular now. And they also just released an app on the App Store called Slam Find TV, and that has tons of content. So, but as we're talking about, these platforms are always changing. I want to encourage people, if they are interested in seeing more, see the film. We're at Don't Be Nice Movie on all of the socials so you can learn more. But then go out to one of the clubs and see what Shaq's talking about, see what Rena's talking about, that, you know, that it's not what you expect and that it's always changing.
Evan, I just wanted to add just that we're really honored to have this film. It's really the centerpiece. I mentioned that we do films all year long with the Black Cinema series, but this film is the centerpiece of three films this month. We partnered earlier in the month with the Dryden Theater and did Daughters of the Dust. And this is coming in the middle. And we encourage you to come out on Friday. And then on Wednesday, February 27th, we have a film called 63 Boycott about segregation in the Chicago schools. So to our filmmaker who's joining us, we're so glad that you're the centerpiece of this month-long series.
And you can check out the series information at thelittle.org. It's Friday night for this one. Don't Be Nice is the documentary, 6:30 p.m. at The Little on Friday. It's 1:45. I'm way late for a break.
I have to say, but a space here in Rochester, yeah. One of my woke art sisters, Rachel McKibbins, who also is a world-renowned slam poet, who is someone who has transformed and transitioned into other things. She has the Spirit Room here in Rochester, and that is a space where, you know, she's busting up so many of those, you know, those barriers to that cadence that we're talking about, right. too. So the Spirit Room is a space here in Rochester that I would encourage folks to get into that space.
All right, you're hearing Rena Golden, who is the founder and artistic director of the Avenue Black Box Theater, host of the Goddess Hour on Wayo, co-creator of Kumba Consultants, and the founder of Slam High. Shaq A.O.R. Payne is a spoken word artist and a recording artist, sharing his wisdom with us. Kevin Hicks is a journalist and vice president of the Rochester Association of Black Journalists. And on the line with us for the hour is Nikhil Melnicek, the filmmaker of Don't Be Nice, also an actor and a poet himself. Let's go ahead and get that only break, and we're right back with more on slam poetry here on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on The Next Connections, does historic preservation need a new approach? According to a recent piece in City Lab, the preservation landscape is changing and the preservation process is facing big challenges. We sit down with local preservationists to discuss what changes might be needed related to standards, financing, sustainability, perceptions from the public, and more. Talk with you Thursday. Welcome back to Connections. Mark emails the program and says, I'm with Lillian. Very interesting show, but what's the difference between spoken word and slam? All right, Shaq, you want to hit that?
So the difference between spoken word and slam is the actual competition in which a spoken word poem is put into. You have 3 minutes with a 10-second grace period to do your piece, and your piece is judged by 5 random audience members who then become judges. The highest and the lowest score are dropped. And the idea behind that is really that if I can get a good score from 5 random people, then my poem is doing whatever it was supposed to do. You don't really want to have a bias in a slam. But yeah, the slam is the actual format.
It's the format of the competition.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Mark, hope that answers your question. If Mark wants to go see a competition, when's the next competition he can see in Rochester? Rena? Shaq?
Right now, there aren't really competitions going on, but you can see it at a lot of different open mics. Rena was talking about the Spirit Room. I host the open mic at the Spirit Room every third Thursday. We have poets. A lot of poets come out usually to that. I know they've been doing a lot of competitions every other Sunday in Buffalo, so that's probably the closest you'll get right now.
Yeah, often when someone is interested in a team, putting a team together like Rock Bottom Slam did, they actually create it's more of a pop up venue. You actually create the slams. You know, you create a space for it to happen. There's a slam master, and you spend the year preparing for that. Here in Rochester, often what happens is, you know, the poets who were drawn to slam they really truly are artists who do morph into other spaces very. Very powerfully. In fact, on tomorrow's Thursday, right? Today's Wednesday. Tomorrow's Thursday. Yeah. So tomorrow, at the Avenue Black Box Theater, where we actually have a collaborative work that's going up with Nigel Gage and Guy Thorne, who are dancers who will be working with Poetically Undefined, Anderson Allen, and there's going to be this amazing spoken word movement piece that happens at the Avenue Black Box, and that's the kind of collaborative work that I love to be a part of.
So if you haven't been to the Avenue Black Box, where are they going to find you?
780 Joseph Avenue, right on the corner of Joseph and Berlin.
Now, I was introduced in the film, as we've kind of talked about a little bit here, the fact that you can, in these slam competitions, you can send up, at least from my understanding for a team, you can send up an individual, or you can do collaborative, multiple people. And I feel like, I don't know, I'm going to start with Nikhil on this. I want everybody's opinion on this. I felt like the competition I'm seeing was sort of weighted in favor of these collaborative, because when you've got multiple people and you can coordinate it, everybody's stuff is powerful. I don't mean to diminish the individuals
at all. It's slam excellence.
But it's wild to see what people, I couldn't believe to see what people can do when it's coordinated. And Nikhil, I'm such the amateur. Is the deck sort of stacked in favor of the collaborative stuff?
Well, I think it's definitely stacked in favor towards the collaborative stuff in the art of filmmaking. You know, we're looking at trying to tell the story of five different poets, and we're introducing you over the course of the film to their own work. And then the opportunity to see them all on stage together, collaborating and knowing each of them and what they've all gone through over the course of the film, and then seeing most of them up on stage together and how they play off one another works on multiple levels now that you know the people. So I think that there's that true power there of having that collaborative form on display. And, you know, that was very much mirrored in our production process. I'm one of the filmmakers on the film, but we had director Max Powers, we had editor David Lieberman, Nathan Poonwar, our executive producer Melina Brown. We had a whole team that was trying to craft the story of the film around this incredible story of these poets. So I think that there's something to hearing multiple voices and seeing how that sort of breaks down this idea that an artist works alone and an artist is sitting in their room with a pen and a whiskey bottle. You know, it's great to see how artists can get together and how they can do more when we're encouraged by our peers.
So a little story about what you're saying, Nikhil. So funny, it just came back to me. So it's 2008, and it's we're being filmed by HBO, and HBO Brave New Voices, or HBO Presents Brave New Voices, was produced by Stan Lathan, you know, who also produced Deaf Poetry Jam. And so we're at the national competition. We're getting, you know, we're getting closer and closer. We know that we're definitely on final stage. It's happening. And so there's this meeting that's called, and you know, with the filmmakers, the producers, everyone, and they're just trying to get it all together because, you know, they have to film the finals. It's about to happen on the big stage, you know, and Idris Elba is our host, and you know, all this stuff is going on, and it's huge. It's Hollywood, baby, you know, and so we had this group piece that was it was super dynamic, but it also was a really important piece for our team with four young women, and they and it was about, you know, just, you know, it was called Amber Alert, and it really just went very deep into some of the things going on with Black girls during that time under this extended metaphor of an Amber Alert, which also came up because of the idea that often Black girls are not actually are not featured, are not highlighted in Amber Alerts in a way that that many of us know white girls are, little, you know. And so the girls were really passionate about this piece. This piece is really what got us to final stage. And at one point, you know, in this meeting, Stan, you know, and one of the cinematographers, you know, turns to me and he's saying, okay, and so we know you've got, you know, the group piece, and you know, and we were thinking about, and they're talking about how it's being going to be staged, and we're supposed to be talking through it. And I look at him and I said, what makes you think the group piece is in the finals? We haven't selected our final pieces yet. And so it kind of like, it was this moment of like, how to win a slam, you know, is in this case, you know, win a slam and win HBO, was to put this group piece up because it was a crowd favorite at this point in the slam. But, you know, kind of how to lose a slam and keep your dignity for us was, it really was about going through our process and searching out the pieces that were important for us to put on that final stage, important to us, to put up there, and go and have some integrity about our process, you know, in actually putting that. And you know, I mean, you watching, you know, the spoiler alert, we did not win the final slam, you know, but we also did not put the group piece up. It had been kind of overdone throughout, and this was our biggest platform, our biggest audience, and we went a different route. No, not at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all. I feel like it's probably, you know, just it probably one of the things that that those poets took away with them in this moment that they were up against sort of the media machine, you know, and you know, the celebrity of it all, where I hope that they could look at me, their coach, and themselves, and know that we made a choice with integrity and weren't swayed by, you know, just the glamour of it all, you know. So
well, down about our last minute, Nikhil, some final thoughts as a filmmaker of Don't Be Nice, as we get ready to see it 6:30 p.m. Friday at the Little Theater.
Go ahead. I'm just thankful to get to talk with this wonderful group of artists that you've
Thank
collected.
You.
You know, it's just really, for me as a filmmaker, the opportunity to join into a conversation and to put forward some ideas and then to hear how people respond. And I'm looking forward to seeing how the audience reacts to the film on Friday at the Little Theater. And I just also want to just give a mention to our producer, Cora Atkinson, who really made this film possible. And to thank you for having us on, Evan.
The film is Don't Be Nice. Nikhil, see you Friday. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
Hey, Shaq, where are we going to see your work? Where do you want people to go to find your stuff?
As of right now, I've been doing a lot more music. You can find my music on Apple Music, Spotify, Google Play, all those big things. Last project I released is called AOR Presents Da Feels. It's my first full-length project. I released it January 11th.
Thank you for being here and for sharing your wisdom with us this hour. We appreciate that. And Rena Golden, it's always nice to talk to you. We'll see you out at the Avenue Black Box Theater, the host of the Goddess Hour on Wayo, Kumba Consultants. We'll see you everywhere.
Yeah. Okay. I'll see you too. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And Kevin Hicks, once again, it's thelittle.org for more information on the Black Cinema series all month long. So you got Friday night at 6:30 p.m., but other events coming up that you can find there. Kevin is the Vice President of the Rochester Association of Black Journalists. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Our thanks to Rob Braden, who, by the way, is a big fan of the Spirit Room and some of the poetry and the great stuff they see there. Twitter's lighting up with love, says, great to see love for the Spirit Room. So there you go. Rob Braden's the engineer, Megan Mack producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a great afternoon. Talk to you tomorrow on Member Supported Public Radio.